Our scripture reading today will come from two places, and you can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert in your bulletin. The Bible in your pew is one that is of a different version. You may certainly use that and follow along, but the scripture reading version I'll be reading from is found on the back of your outlines, the English Standard Version. And there are three passages there, but I'm going to read just two of them at this point. The Deuteronomy passage I'll refer to later in the sermon, but I'm going to start by reading Exodus chapter 3, the verses 1 through 6, and then from Luke chapter 20, the verses 27 to 40. So let's begin today with Exodus chapter 3, the verses 1 through 6, and this is the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why, the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the bush. Moses, Moses! And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And then also from Luke chapter 20, which is our scripture text today, Luke 20, the verses 27 through 40. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered, Teacher, you have spoken well, for they no longer dared to ask him any question. Thus the reading of God's word today from Exodus 3 and Luke chapter 20. Again, keep in mind the outline in your bulletins, which I will be referring to throughout the sermon. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in this world in which we live, it is so easy for us to have an entirely earthly, this age focus of our daily lives and to miss the vertical resurrection focus that God has for us. Even if our focus is on blessings that God has given us in this world. For many of us, that focus starts when we're young. Our school age years, we grow up and are educated, preparing ourselves for our earthly future. And that future is about having a job and a career that we can support ourselves or our families in the future. Many of us hope also that God will soon bless us with the gift of marriage. And when he does, that God will bless that marriage with children to raise for him. From there, the focus is about providing for our families, teaching our children about the Lord, along with preparing ourselves for our later years when we can't work anymore. And hopefully you have enough saved up and prepared for a comfortable future that your needs will be met until the Lord takes you home. Now, of course, none of this is bad. In fact, according to the book of Genesis, these are the things that God has created us to do in this world. But what can happen is, even as believers, we can become so focused and concerned about these things that we are so involved with in our daily lives that we end up with an entirely this age worldview. But in our text today, Jesus answers a question of the Sadducees. And in his answer to the question, he tells us that the things that mean so much to us here on earth don't matter when we enter heaven. In today's text today, Jesus reminds us that as we live in this age, this world, we must always have a resurrection world view. As you look at your outlines today, you see I have put point A, the Sadducee world view. You see, our text in verse 27 begins and tells us about the Sadducees. The Sadducees have come now to Jesus, and we're told about the worldview of the Sadducees. They are those who deny there is a resurrection. You see, throughout the book of Luke, at various times, Jesus has encountered Jewish officials. We have seen how he has met the Pharisees, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and at times the Sadducees have been mentioned. But this is the first time where the Sadducees are asking Jesus a question. Well, who are the Sadducees? For one thing that distinguished the Sadducees from the Pharisees is that the Pharisees held on to an oral tradition. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but the Pharisees went from those scriptures in terms of what they said was an oral tradition that was passed on, not written down, but spoken from one generation to the next, where a lot of their Pharisaic laws were developed and came from. The Sadducees held on to the written scripture, especially the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote. And as they focused on those written scriptures, they rejected the oral tradition that the Pharisees taught. And as far as the Jews of Jesus' day, the Sadducees, because of their view of no resurrection of the dead, were often described as pagan Jews. That means their entire focus was this age, this world. And in rejecting the resurrection of the dead, our text tells us they also rejected the afterlife. They did not believe in angels or demons, as Jesus will refer to in our passage today. For the Sadducees, they believed that after a person died, that was it. For them, there is no conscious existence after death. Your body and soul die, and that's it. You cease to exist. They don't believe in eternal glory. They did not believe in eternal judgment and death and hell. They believed that all the things you do and did was all about this earth to prepare yourself for an earthly future. And once your earthly life was over, that's it. So for them, preparing as a young person to be educated, to have a job and a career, perhaps you get married and have a family. You devote your life to providing for your family and living comfortably until your death, preparing your finances, your future for your children who will live beyond you in this world, and then you die. That's it. No heaven, no hell. You cease to exist. Well, where did they find this view in the scriptures? We find out that question when they ask Jesus a question in verse 28. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the only passage they would refer to, but certainly it's one of the main ones which they bring up to Jesus. In verse 28, you see, they come to Jesus with a question saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." Now, the passage they're referring to from Moses, from the law of Moses, is from the book of Deuteronomy. And I've put it on the back of your outlines there. It's the passage in the middle between Luke and Exodus. And that portion of the law of Moses, I'll read it for you, beginning at verse 5, reads this way, Deuteronomy 25, 5 and 6. "If brothers dwell together, and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel." You see, God's purpose for this Old Testament law was to prevent a man's family and his family's name from dying out among the people of Israel. That's described in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 25. We've already seen this, if you're a Bible reader of the Old Testament, before Deuteronomy in the book of Genesis. Perhaps you remember how Judah's oldest son dies and leaves his wife Tamar childless. And Judah's second son then refuses to have a child with Tamar, and he dies. The Lord puts him to death. And yet Judah won't give his third son, even though he promised Tamar he would give him his third son. And Tamar ends up seducing Judah, and the son that she has with Judah, the father, ends up being in the line of Christ. We also see this in the book of Ruth, when Naomi's husband dies, and then both of Naomi's sons die, and Ruth and Orpah are two daughters-in-laws left without husbands, and Orpah goes back to her people, and Ruth goes to Boaz, a relative, and together they have the heir and the child for Naomi. The point of this law is that when a man of Israel, a man of the covenant, dies childless, his brother was to take the widow and to have a child with the widow to raise up the child for his brother to continue on his brother's name and the inheritance that was promised to him in the land of Israel, in the land of Canaan. And so the Sadducees try to use this law of Moses as a proof text to disprove the resurrection. Look again what they say, and look further what they say, beginning at verse 29. "Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. And afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." Now, do you see why they have picked on this particular passage to ask Jesus? And do you understand why they use this to deny the resurrection? For to them, this law makes the resurrection absurd. If a woman's husband dies, and he has seven brothers, and all the brothers die childless, at the resurrection of the seven brothers, whose wife will she be? There are seven brothers. She has seven husbands. Whose wife will she be? She can't be seven wives or a wife to seven brothers at once. You see, as they think of the future, as they think of the time after the resurrection, they have an entirely earthly, this age focus. They think that human relationships, especially marriage, are going to go on at the resurrection as they were here on earth. And for them, this Old Testament law of Moses proves just how ridiculous that is. You see, you see how this is so clear to them in terms of the resurrection. It's just an absurd thought to think that at the resurrection, seven brothers raised from the dead, each will claim that the resurrected woman is his wife. How can a woman with seven husbands in this world have seven husbands at the resurrection age? Ridiculous, and for the Sadducees, it proves how ridiculous the resurrection is. But now, as you look at Jesus' answer, part C on your outline, Jesus answers them in such a way that he describes for them how that earthly worldview, that earthly focus in terms of the future, that idea that everything that is the way it is now is going to stay the same after the resurrection, is not what the Bible says. The resurrection transforms things of this age. Look at his answer beginning at verse 34. And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage." You see, Jesus is saying to them, marriage is for this age. Marriage is for, the words he used, the sons of this age. The sons of this age are the people that live in this world. They marry and are given in marriage, just as God commanded and told them to do in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That is something, Jesus says, you do in this age. But those, he goes on, that attain to the resurrection of the dead, they do not marry or are given in marriage. You see, the Bible teaches us that marriage is an earthly institution. Whenever there is marriage, the couple will say to one another in their vows, "Till death do us part." You see, Jesus is reminding them, and he's reminding us, there is no marriage in heaven. The marriage in heaven is not between a husband and wife. The marriage in heaven is between God the Father and God the Son, and the church is the bride of Christ. Now think about what that means. When it comes to the purpose of marriage then on earth, what God has said at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, two important purposes to an earthly marriage. First, that it was not good for man to be alone, Genesis 2, verse 18. God gave us the gift of marriage for companionship. It is not good for man to be alone. And what's more, God tells us in Genesis 2 that God gave Adam a wife so that she could be a helper to him in this life, Genesis chapter 2. But at the resurrection, there will be no need for a marriage companion. Man and woman will not be alone. They will be in the presence of God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ, for all eternity. There's no need for an earthly companionship. There is no need for a desire to have that kind of companionship to satisfy what it means to be alone. There is no need for a helper in heaven. In heaven, you live forever. In heaven, you live fulfilling your chief end, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. A second purpose of marriage, according to Genesis 1 and 2, is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, Genesis 1:28. That means that you have children. To be fruitful and multiply means that God blesses you with children if he gives you that blessing and opportunity. But there in heaven, you see, there's not a be fruitful and multiply task given to a husband and wife. Because all the redeemed of God will be with Jesus in heaven forever. That is how life will be transformed and different in the resurrection age. In the heavenly realms, all the things that you focus here on earth in this age, even the blessings like the opportunity to make a living or to have a career, like having a family or a desire to have a husband or wife or children, Jesus reminds us today in these verses that in heaven there is no marriage. In heaven there is no need to work and to till the soil. In heaven you are with God and you will never hunger or thirst. Instead of identifying yourself as a husband and a wife, or a father or a mother, or a child of this particular father and mother, Jesus reminds us today that instead, in heaven, you are identified as a son and a daughter of God. The woman and her seven husbands that the Sadducees have referred to, what happens at the resurrection? What happens when they're raised? They won't be married like they were on earth seven times. You don't have seven brothers all trying to stand next to their wife and say, "This is my wife." Instead, you will have seven sons of God standing with one daughter of God who may know each other, but not as a husband and a wife knew each other here on this earth. But they are all saved in Jesus Christ from their sins and have been adopted as sons and a daughter of God. As Jesus continues his answer then, he refers to them in terms of what life is in heaven. You see, he's described it first of all in his answer that marriage is for the present age. But as you go on to verse 36, Jesus goes on to describe what kind of life there is in heaven. He goes on to say, "For they cannot die anymore." The seven husbands and wife that died, they can't die anymore, because they are equal to the angel. Now remember what we said at the beginning of this sermon. The Sadducees denied that there are angels. They also denied that there are spiritual demons. But Jesus is now saying that there is eternal life beyond the grave. You can't die anymore, he says, when you get to heaven at the resurrection. There is no death in heaven, and the angels in heaven already possess it. Look again at that word, at the way that verse is worded. The verse is worded where Jesus answers, "For they cannot die anymore because they are equal," or they are sharing the eternal life of the angels in heaven. In this verse, Jesus is saying that in heaven you can't die, that you're equal to the angels who don't die, the angels that have been servants of God faithfully there. In other words, you need to move beyond this age, this world focus. You Sadducees view that states you die and that's the end of your conscious existence. Jesus is saying that's not true. In this age, your body may die, but your soul in Christ Jesus, having been resurrected in him, cannot die. Look what he goes on to say at the rest of that verse. He goes on to say, they are sons of God being sons of the resurrection. You see, they are now in Christ Jesus adopted sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus. Again, you see the emphasis that Jesus is making following the question of the Sadducees. Well, whose wife is she going to be of these seven brothers at the resurrection? And Jesus says, that's not what it's going to be at all. That's not your identity. Your identity at the resurrection is that you are now sons and daughters of God. That's how you will identify yourself. You won't say, whose wife are you? Who's your husband? Whose mother and father are you from? You won't stand before God in heaven and go to other believers in heaven and say, I'd like you to meet my family. This is my wife. These are my children. Children won't say to their friends, well, here's my brothers and sisters. We grew up together. We had so much fun together growing up and living together. We were blessed with such wonderful parents. That's not your identity there. Instead, Jesus tells us that your identity in heaven is found to be as a son and a daughter of God. And Jesus gives then the Sadducees his own proof text. You notice again the first part of the outline. The Sadducees asked their question. We learned about their worldview. And then they went to their Old Testament proof text to show to Jesus that the resurrection, that's absurd. Nobody should believe that. Well, Jesus then goes to the Old Testament book of Exodus, one of the books of Moses, one of the written books that the Sadducees believed also was the Word of God. And he went to a proof text to show them. Jesus goes to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, as I read it earlier today, Moses stood before the burning bush. And when God called to Moses from the burning bush, God identified himself. We see it in verse 37 in the book of Luke chapter 20. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Notice how it is worded, both in Exodus and as Jesus quotes it here in Luke 20. Jesus is carefully emphasizing and pointing out that when God spoke to Moses in Exodus 3, he doesn't use the past tense. Moses, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when they were alive on earth. He doesn't use the future tense. Moses, I will be someday the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God uses the present tense with Moses, and Jesus quotes it in our text today to the Sadducees. I am present. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means though Abraham and Isaac and Jacob live their lives on this earth and have now died and their bodies are buried in the ground, their souls are alive and present with God in heaven. And he continues to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though they have already died, he's telling Moses. This is what God told Moses from the bush. Again, look how he concludes in verse 38 as he interprets the text. He is not the God of the dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not dead. But the God of the living. For all live unto him. Again, look at that last phrase. All live unto him. I titled this sermon today, Having a Resurrection Worldview. It's about living out the resurrection. It's about having a resurrection focus in your life. And do you see how Jesus has confronted the Sadducee worldview? The belief that there is no resurrection, the belief that when your body dies, there is no heaven, that both your body and soul die, and that's it. That's the end, the Sadducee worldview. But what did he say in verse 38? Having pointed to the proof text from the book of Exodus, he is not the God of the dead, but the living, for all live unto him. Just think for a moment. If you held to the Sadducee worldview, that if the God of the covenant relationship with his people was only about a covenant relationship with you while you're alive in this world, God would then be saying to Moses, I made this promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it was all about taking care of them in their earthly life and their descendants who would live after them in this world. They lived their lives in past history, but now they live their lives and they're dead, their bodies and their soul. The covenant relationship then that I established with my people is only about life in this world. Their soul's not alive in heaven with me. No promise of a resurrected body. That's the Sadducee worldview. And so the covenant promises that God makes and the relationship he enters into with his people is only about life in this world and your descendants in this world. And so you hope that God will help you with your career, your income, and your job. You hope and pray that God will help you with perhaps a family, a wife, or a husband, maybe children. But that's where it all ends. How hopeless is that? It's why some people, with their no resurrection view, calls the Sadducees sad you see. And yet, how many non-believers live their lives this way? And unfortunately, how many Christians think their daily life this way? That's why, again, Jesus adds that phrase in verse 38. He is not the God of the dead, but the living. All live for him. You see, the things that you do in this daily life that you live are for him. The work that you do, the career that you have is for him. The family you're blessed with, the husband, the wife, the children, is for him. You live for him, not for yourself. Not for an earthly focus or an earthly future, like the Sadducee view. But now, as Jesus concludes, you see that the Sadducees have a response. They thought they got Jesus. They thought with their question, they were going to prove and show him that his view of the resurrection was ridiculous. And when Jesus gave his answer, when Jesus pointed them to the book of Exodus chapter 3, we're told in verse 39 that when the Sadducees heard it, they said, "Teacher, you have spoken well." Now, some have looked at that answer that the Pharisees or the Sadducees have given. They said, well, did Jesus convince them? There's no indication in the text that Jesus convinced them. There's no indication in the text that those who denied the resurrection, the Sadducees, now believe the resurrection. No indication at all. In fact, verse 40 confirms that they're only saying to Jesus, he answered well. For in verse 40, they say they no longer dared to ask him any question. It's not that they're convinced. They too, like the Pharisees who tried to trap him earlier in Luke 20, are afraid of the people. They too know that as Sadducees, their view of no resurrection is a view that the Pharisees do not agree with. And their fear of the Pharisees, their fear of the people, and what their response may be to their questioning Jesus has led them to say to Jesus, "You have spoken well," and they no longer dare to ask him a question. Do you see again their earthly, horizontal, this age focus? Instead of being about the truth, about what the Word of God says, they're concerned about the people and what the Pharisees may think. And so, like I said at the beginning of this sermon, it is so easy for us to get caught up in the things of this age. We too can get caught up even in the things that God has blessed us with our lives here on this earth. Things that God has created us to do, we're told in the book of Genesis, concerning an income, concerning a career, concern for supporting ourselves and thinking about an earthly future, being responsible for all of those things, being responsible and thinking about a family and the blessings that that may be, a husband, a wife, or children someday, or having had that even now, those things can quickly become what we live for. But in answering the Sadducees' question, Jesus has transformed our thinking from a this age earthly focus into a heavenly eternal focus, which is to live for Christ. As Jesus describes the resurrection, he describes a transformed family life, a family that is so devoted to one another on this earth becomes a family of God, sons and daughters of God in heaven. A desire to support yourself, to prepare for an earthly future here on this earth. In heaven, you go to a place where you will no longer hunger or thirst, but glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Do you live for Christ? Do you live each day with a resurrection worldview? Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this scripture passage, which puts before us the resurrection of the dead. And as the Sadducees approached Jesus and did not believe in the resurrection, Lord, we are thankful that your Spirit has opened our hearts and minds to know the resurrection and the eternal future that you have for your people. We rejoice that you have entered into a covenant with us, that we have a relationship with you even now here on this earth, that your Spirit has drawn us as sinners who are dead in sin into a resurrection life and forgiveness of sin, that our hope is not just on this earth, but our hope is in eternity with you. Father, we pray that you would enable us each day to have a resurrection focus and worldview, that the things of this earth that are important to us, that are our responsibilities, yes, Lord, give us the courage and the strength each day to accomplish what you have put before us. But Lord, we pray that they would never overtake our resurrection focus. That as we live each day for Christ, our focus would not be this earth, but our focus would be in heaven. That someday at the resurrection, body and soul, we will be forever with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.